ladies and gentlemen, let's have a word of prayer. Will, would you start for us this evening, please?
Yes, Father, thank you for tonight, Lord, for any safety, security, your house tonight. Grift to give us the right capacity up to thee, Lord, and use your spirit and teach us new things, Lord, and bring us back to thy will and to thy purpose as well, Lord. Grift after the problem, to make it good draw, Lord. Bring them to the right time, keep them well, save our souls, save Stephen Carl John, mighty and powerfully. Also, call and bring back to church. And grew from keeping and drawing close walk to the as well, Lord. Also with Dr. Shine, Lane and Frank and Bowman. Keep safe and well, protect them and keep them as well, Lord. Also with Stephen Pat, Lord, get past on next bite, and also give Stephen help him with his dallas to bring back to church as well, Lord. Grew this time, Lord, get Mark and Lunch from the Holy Spirit, Lord. And also, Lord, we may draw close walk to thee and be in a better place that now would direct us to thee, Lord. And grew us to bless the other churches around the world that are convening even now to start services, those have already started services, those who need to start services, Lord. Grew from us, Lord, we make the backslide will return back to the Lord. See so mighty and powerful, Lord. And may I give you a big grace both in this church hall, but also in the churches and get service throughout the world, the house as well. Also give the persecuted church, Lord, give them our suffering for thee, Lord. And as trying to settle battles, keep them safe and well, love from natural, Lord. We give them grace, Lord. We give them love and help them mightily and powerfully in their afflictions, Lord. Give us the gifts, Lord, and give us a blessing night for them, Lord. We pray this again.
Thank you, Will. If anybody has a particular hymn that they'd like for to sing this evening, I am open to suggestions. But we're going to begin by singing hymn number 25 in the wee black book. After this, I'll take requests. Hymn number 25, I am his and he is mine.
Bye.
Same book?
Yeah, same.
He Set Me Free, Mrs. Bradfield, that's You're Up, the other music machine. Number 24. You'll have to take your heads and just shift them about 20 degrees to the left to see that one. That's Sam, man.
Shake your hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of kingdoms of nations, gathered together, Lord of hosts, musters, battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord, and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. How ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand, it shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another, their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both for wrath and fierce anger, to thee the land that desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give you light, the sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for iniquity. I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the hardness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious of fine gold, even a man than the golden wage over. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall move out of her place, and the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and the day of his fierce anger, and shall be as a chaste robe, and as a sheep that hath no man picketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people, and flee every one unto his own land. Everyone that is found shall be thrust through, and everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by sword. The children also shall be dashed pieces before their eyes, their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravished. Go thou stir up the meat against them, which shall not require silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bows also shall dash young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb, their eyes shall not spare children. And Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, the excellency, shall be as when God will free Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, nor shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make a fold there, but wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and all shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces, and her time is near to come, and her day shall not be prolonged. Amen.
This is Bradfield. Norman, do you have a hymn that you'd like for us to sing? You got one, Mrs. Bay, off the front.
252. Do we sing that at
Bradfield? 252. I don't know the title. Do we sing that at Bradfield?
Why didn't Snow?
No, almost certainly not.
Is it in the music?
Thank you.
London?
150.
150, I think you know that one. What is it? Yep, my faith is found to rest in Christ. Definitely know that one. Let's stand for this one, man. See what the Word of God has for us this evening. This is what the Word of God says. And he, that is Jesus, spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old, if otherwise then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. The new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. Amen. No man, we'll read this, but we're not going to be speaking on it. No man also having drunk new wine, or drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith the old is better. Amen. That is a completely different context and what we're going to be speaking about for a few minutes on the power of the Scripture. So let's have a word of prayer and then we will continue, Heavenly Father. Lord, please bless this time of your word, and indeed anywhere in the world, Lord, where people are gathering together to preach and to teach and to hear the word, I pray to bless that too. Thank you for loving us and watching over us, and pray your good hand upon us as we take this time. Please be with our brothers and sisters right the way across the world, Lord. Please see Mandy safely home. Pray very especially at this time for Ed Bishop and Cindy Catalano as they start their battles with cancer. And Father, I pray your good hand upon us. Please, Lord, take us as a time of teaching, of understanding, and Lord, just seeing what you can do with that. We love you and praise you. Thank you for loving us, Lord, and thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, Father. And we just don't half appreciate what you've done for us, but Lord, help us to see. We love you and praise you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Much of the doctrines of the Bible that give us a view of how the world really works are contained in the parables. And in this one, I want to show you the power of the scriptures and what it can do for a person, or indeed what it can do to a person. As we look at these two, I'm sure you've heard it, you've heard this parable before. But the Lord is using the maintenance of clothes and the storage of wine to explain the effect of the scriptures, of the teaching of the gospel and associated doctrines on the lives of the saved and of the lost. The first one that we've looked at is fixing a hole in a pair of trousers, or we'll call it a pair of trousers, it just says a garment. But everybody knows you don't go and cut up a pair of new trousers to fix a pair of old trousers, because you basically, you put a huge hole in the new trousers, and the old trousers look awful because now there's a patch of brand spanking new material that makes the rest of it look old. And it would be the first part of it would be the equivalent of a man that's maybe a drunkard or a liar or a thief or a blasphemer or an adulterer going to church every Sunday morning and making sure he carries his Bible and congratulates the minister and says, "Oh, that was a good service." And yet everybody knows, he especially, that he does all of these things. His congratulations mean nothing. All the going to church does, if it's a decent church, is all the going to church does is remind him of how bad the rest of his life is. There are many in church that will say, "Oh, you're okay, just do the best you can." And for some strange reason, the do your best you can standard is very, very, very low. But in a real gospel preaching church, people are going to hear their sins mentioned and are going to be reminded from the scriptures what God thinks about them and God's remedy for them. It might make the man feel uncomfortable. And that's the plan. It's not to make us feel unwelcome, although some people think that. People only feel unwelcome whenever they are unwilling to change their lives to the sort of life that God wants. People will feel uncomfortable, and a reasonable person who is going to be depending upon the power of God to save them and to straighten them out will say, "I'm wrong. I've done wrong, and I need to get it right, and everything will be hunky-dory." And that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and that's the whole plan. But when you don't do things in the right order, you just end up with a mess. You end up with a ruined pair of new trousers and a pair of old trousers that look awful. You can't. You literally can't make a lost man a Christian by following the scriptures, by just applying Christian preaching, Christian doctrines to his life, by applying the law to his life. You can't. All that the law does is show you you need a savior. You must be born again. I remember coming across a man down in Drumahoe. You know the houses that are way up on the hill that overlook, I think it's not that far from the Brahan Goat House. It says, "Oh, I used to go to church, and I used to not drink and not curse and not swear, and that was hard work. But it is hard work, especially if you're not a saved person. The man was a Roman Catholic man, and he took a minute or two to talk to me at the door. He didn't like what I had to say, unfortunately, that he needed to get saved. But it doesn't make you saved. God's teachings in the Bible, apart from you must be born again, they don't make you saved. They are instruction for how God's people should behave. The lost man should only feel conviction and should feel that the Bible is pointing a finger at him, because it is pointing a finger at him, and it's warning him time after time, you have broken this commandment, you have broken that commandment. And unless you get this sorted out, that is going to be on your tab until the day you stand in front of God, and he's going to say, I can see that you're still a sinner. You're a lost sinner. You're not a sinner saved by grace. And so the whole plan is that people get saved, and because they're going to heaven, and because they have the Holy Spirit inside, and because they are now new creatures in Christ, well then, applying the scriptures to your life will work. As we look even at the, and this is all about looks, and the second one is about actual lives whenever you look at wine. Back in the day, as it says here, wine was stored in skins, fresh grape juice. And as long as it wasn't left out in the heat to go rancid or bad or whatever, it was maybe stored in skins, maybe it was buried or kept somewhere cool for as long as it needed to be kept. But whenever fresh grape juice was stored, it was put in a new wineskin. Because new wineskins have a bit of elasticity about them. There's a bit of give and take in them. And as the wine, as we know, ferments, it exudes gases. Is that the right way of putting it? It emits gases, and the longer it sits, the wineskin is able to stretch. However, if you put it in an old wineskin, which just feels like a piece of tough boot leather, it will not stretch. It'll fill up with the gases, and then it'll tear. And the wineskin is now useless, and the wine is spilt, and everybody loses out. That's why new wine must be put into new wineskin. And that, again, is a teaching for the Christian. Again, only a Christian can take on board Christian teachings, and only a Christian is able to grow through those teachings. A Christian is a new creature. It's not the old creature, the old skin. It is a new creature with new skin that is able to grow. And I'll give you a for example. We can grow in areas, a saved person can grow in areas that a lost man can't. It'll break them. And the scriptures will be ruined in his sight. All he'll ever see of the scriptures is a source of harm and a source of hurt. However, a Christian can see them as a source of help and a source of strength. For example, it's hard to give place to wrath and allow God to visit vengeance on people. Remember what the scripture says? Dearly beloved, give place unto wrath. Avenge not yourselves, for vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. How is a lost man going to do that whenever he doesn't believe in or doesn't trust in the God that has made that promise to his children? It's hard for a lost man who doesn't believe in God to labor here in this world and lay treasures up in a heaven that he knows deep down in himself he will never see. So why should he lay up treasures in heaven? A lost man can't do that, but a saved man can, or a saved woman. It's hard to have the peace that passeth all understanding. We see people looking many different places for security and peace, but the only one, do you know, any and all of them can all disappear like that. People say, oh, I have a huge amount of money in my bank account. What did we see whenever people started standing up for what was right in Canada, and I think even in Europe? The government would just seize people's bank accounts. And they weren't able to spend any of that money. So how did they pay their bills? How did they buy their food? How can a man go before a God and vent his whole heart and expect the peace of God that passeth all understanding to be his whenever he doesn't believe that God, when he doesn't trust that God? You would never tell somebody your whole heart that you didn't trust. It's hard to trust in all of the promises and the provisions of someone else's God, a God that you don't trust in. So before we grow as a Christian, you actually have to be a Christian. How is growth as a Christian different to that as a lost man? You're supposed to trust God. And you're supposed to trust God, and you can trust God. And you can step out on his trust in the same way that Peter stepped out on the water because God called him after he asked God, call me if you need me. Okay, well, come on. So Peter stepped out in the water, and you can step out in God's trust, and you can grow in an area that a lost man can't even see. You can do miracle things. But you must be born again. And you need to accept God's word, and you need to have faith in God's word. A lost man can't do that because not his God. If you try making a lost man obey the Bible, something's going to break. Mind will break. His life will break. It will be full of hypocrisy. His children will break. His wife, or a wife's husband will break. There'll be a rent, and all of those teachings will be poured out in the ground, wasted, because he was not able to continue. For the reasons that we mentioned earlier on, a lost man doesn't have that godly patience. A lost man can't read the Bible and see God as you and I see him, and see his teachings in a way that will help him. They see him like a stripe across the back instead of a leg up. A lost man does not receive the blessings of God. God doesn't bless lost people except whenever they cry out to him for salvation. A lost man can't stand the rejection of the people around him because he doesn't know any other people. You and I have brethren, but you and I, more importantly, have a Father in heaven. A big brother that intercedes for us day by day and gives his life for us, and a friend that sticketh closer than a brother in the Holy Spirit that never leaves you and never forsakes you. A lost man doesn't have that. You, Christian, can stand with the Bible safe and secure that it is the Word of God on your own in the face of all of your detractors in the world, the flesh, and the devil, and everybody that subscribes to him and says, God says. And they will all feel bad. And we know how that works. It means you normally come up for a bit of persecution. There is a different dimension to the saved soul in this world. And whenever you go looking at the scriptures, whenever you go taking them on board, because I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes I have to be reminded of scriptures. I don't remember them all the time. Most times whenever I need them, the Lord reminds me of them. And he'll do the same with you. You might have to apply a bit of your own wisdom to your new life to make it, to cover a tear or a rent or a shortcoming. And there's no harm in that. That doesn't mean your whole life becomes like your old life. But there might be bits of it that you can use. You might need to allow yourself to be stretched and understand that no matter your age, if you are willing to learn, the sky's the limit. that wineskin that is the Christian that is prepared to listen can grow. Trust in God. Going out. And what Mark the Lost Man would never have stood in the corner of the street and preached the gospel for an hour for years, every Sunday afternoon for years. Mark the old man, the lost man, would never have gone around doors putting gospel leaflets in through the doors. And Mark the old man would never have been able to come up with a gospel message. Mark the new man can, but Mark the new man can still fix computers like Mark the old man. And that has helped me out in my new Christian life. I hope you get the idea, and I hope I'm giving you a decent enough illustration. There is so much for us to learn. And to think about that new wineskin, I said, it'll never break. For all that you do and for all that you apply yourself to God and His will in your life, that wineskin will never break. We need to just stick with it. We live in the days whenever gospel preaching is frowned upon because we are seen as troublemakers. We live in the days whenever the men that should be the pillars of society are actually the dregs of and enemies of society. We live in the days whenever verses of scripture like this will very rarely be heard out and about. And we need to make sure that we understand. You're only limited in your Christian life by how much you are prepared to do for God. That's it. And you can do as much as you want to do for God. And you know, God's not ever going to say, and I'm not saying you have to live every moment of every day for God. Just be faithful with the life that you have. And as God calls you, act upon it. And people need to see that. People need to see Christians. I've got a hole in my Christian life. I'll use something from my old life to patch that up, and I'm going to keep on going. That's what people need to see Christians doing. Not falling apart. Not crashing and burning. But using what they have. I think there was one of the other parables that, I think it was the unjust servant that had all this stuff outstanding to all his master's debtors, and his master said, all right, he said, look, I'm going to be out of a job soon. I'm going to make a few shrewd decisions here. You owe my boss 100 baths of oil. Write down 60 and give them to me quick. You owe him 100 bushels of wheat. Write down 80 and we'll call it quits. And using everything, using your experience. I'll give you a little bit of a for instance. I never thought that whenever I acquired an unhealthy interest in the occult that it would ever be a help to me. But it has enabled me to see things that have crept in at every corner of the world and enabled me to patch holes in my Christian knowledge and my spiritual teaching. In other words, this is what you look out for. I think a new thing now in some of these charismatic churches is creative visualization. And that is an occultic means of trying to acquire whatever it is that you want. Just keep thinking about it, making it the whole focus of your being, and you'll get it. But if I hadn't ever thought of that and someone said that to me, I would say, well, that sounds pretty reasonable. And to most people it does, because they haven't studied the Bible, they haven't looked at the Bible, and they haven't taken on any of God's teachings. But this is creeping in. It's creeping in about standing for your truth. And that is just your opinion. And the Bible says in Isaiah 14, that the devil's plan is to be like God, and all those that follow him have the same mindset. It is very, very important that we keep our Christian life and the scriptures and use them properly and accordingly. God doesn't want us wandering around defenseless babes, not knowing what to do whenever the world, the flesh, and the devil come against us, and they will. God always said, our only offensive weapon, our only offensive spiritual weapon, because that's where the real battle is fought, is the Scripture. And whenever it talks about them being poured in, it means us taking them on board and making them a part of this container of flesh and blood that we have. And there are many verses in the Bible telling us to memorize portions of Scripture, just so that we can know, well, do you know what? Even memorizing this, the bit of Scripture that says to memorize Scripture is a help to me, because it means it'll keep reminding me to memorize more Scripture. We need these things, and we will grow because of it. Now, we're not just like wineskins that if you pour more wine in and more wine in, we're eventually going to burst. I have never come across a saved man that loves the Lord but learned too much of the Bible. Never came across one. I've come across plenty of people, plenty of saved people that haven't learned enough of the Bible, and I'm including myself in that, but I've never come across a man that's was stretched too far for God. God loves us, and God wants the best for us. And God has everything that we need in this book. All we got to do is keep reading. And if you ever come across a verse that really jumps out at you, what I used to do was I would have a notebook like this, and if you need one, I think I have a bunch at the house, I would write it down 4 or 5 times, and then I would say it in my head about 10 times. And that would be good enough for me to remember a single verse of Scripture. We should do that. See, the thing about the power of the Scripture, Scriptures are powerful enough that they will destroy the life of a pretender. Just like that. They'll tear it apart. Because the old man can't take it. As he strives to be all holy, it'll be easy just to say, you say that, and you say that. You say you should be in church, and you say we should read the Bible, and you say we should say the prayers, and even have a book of prayers. But to take the Lord's name in vain, and whenever it comes to one of the best ones at the moment is, in I think it's in 2 Timothy, where the Bible says that a pastor or a deacon, the only two offices in the church that are ever mentioned in the Bible, should be the husband of one wife. And how many women ministers are there out there in the world? They hate that verse of Scripture. So what does that say about these people? It says that what they believe is not the Bible, is not the Word of God. It's some opinion that they have. And it pokes a huge hole in that, in their life. But the Scriptures will also build you up. And I'm going to tell you something, friends. I have been at the bedside and in the company of many Christians. Christians in their youth, Christians in their prime, and Christians on their way to heaven. It has never been a career that this world has offered that has comforted them when times are tough. It has never been a hobby or a TV program or a computer game, or a pocket full of £20 notes that has ever comforted them in times of need. You want to know what it has been? It has been the Scriptures. And the Scriptures will keep you, and they will fire you up whenever your health fails, whenever your sight fails, whenever your hearing fails. The Scriptures will still be burning in your heart, firing you up and giving you a purpose day by day, even if it's only to tell the nurses that come to change your bedpan and give you a washing bed. You know, I was just thinking the other day that Jesus loved us all so much that he gave his life on the cross. Even if that is all that you remember, and even on a deathbed, you can still be doing the work of God, and you can still close your eyes knowing that you have done what God asked you to do. Many times as Norman and I worked in this church, there were many stages at which the church seemed to be complete compared to what it was as we tore it apart. It looked great whenever the wood was up. There was only a couple of wee holes, but once we started putting steel and new timber on the side of the church, it looked great. And then whenever it came to the inside, it didn't look too bad. And once we started pulling the old wood and stuff away, it looked awful. But once we got the wood up, the fresh wood, it looked great. And it looked even better once we got the plasterboard up. And it looked even better once we got the plaster covering the joints and the electrics and this, that, and the other, and the paint and the lino and all the fittings. It looked great. God wants to do that for you. He has everything there to do that for you. I want to tell you something, friends. I hope and pray you never have to come to the point where you go and you are comforted by what you remember of the scriptures in your head and in your heart. But you will, until the end of your days, be able to open your Bible and read the words of eternal life. But there's power in the scriptures. Will make a mockery of all that make a mockery of them and use them incorrectly. Doesn't the Bible say, talk about wresting the scriptures to your own destruction? But it is the very power of God unto salvation for eternity and for the saving of your life right now to all that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And you and I, friends, have no reason to ever be ashamed the scripture. That is God's power from him to you and I in this world tonight and every day. As long as you have that there and are intent in putting it in there, that is the very power of God in your life. Remember Wee Rita Burnett. She used to love coming to the church. She had a big long walk from the front of her house round to the back where we could park the car, or we could go to the back and park the car, but you had to go down 6 concrete steps, maybe 7 concrete steps. And I remember any time we went together, I'd always go up and give her my arm, one hand on the rail and one hand on the arm, and I would help her down. And she loved to come, and she would sit at the back, and she would fellowship with folks, and she would sing, and she enjoyed being here. And whenever she became a little bit infirm and couldn't make it out in windy nights and bad weather, I would go and visit her, and we would sit and chat, and we would read the scriptures, and that gave her a peace and a comfort. And you see, towards the end of her life, whenever she had a hospital bed in instead of an armchair, do you know the most joy that she had was repeating favourite scriptures as I read them from Psalm 1, Psalm 2, from Psalm 23, from John chapter 3, from Isaiah 53. That is what gave her the most joy. That and singing God's praises. She couldn't see clearly enough to read them. She could just about make out me whenever I was singing them. And her voice, her voice was that weak, it just wavered. But the power of the scriptures was enough to keep her going. And it'll do the same for you. Never underestimate them. Never make little of them. And never underinvest in them. If you had a little flashlight, you would want to make sure that the battery was in it and well charged. Because otherwise it's no good to you. And God wants the same for us. It's the scriptures that make a difference. The Holy Spirit is that spark in your heart and in your life. The scriptures are the fuel. Load up and be as ready as you can for difficult times. God bless you. Thank you very much for your good time and attention. that that was a help to you receive. I'll take a request if anybody has one for a closing hymn. If you don't, I am good to pick one out.
Number 11, Mark. Immortal, invisible, God, and wise, and perfect.
Certainly. We'll do number 11. Stand as we sing. Mortal, invisible, God, only wise. Amen. Thank you, Will. Ladies and gentlemen, we're dismissed. God bless you.